Mama!
Look for something unusual. Something hard. Because of my big legs and karate, I can do the splits no problem.
Kumite, and welcome to Van Damme, it's Jean-Claude. I'm your host, Paul Schroyer. And this week we are talking about the 1991 movie Lionheart. This is something new for this podcast. This is the first time that I actually have a special guest on. And let's go ahead and bring him out. You might know him from the other podcast I do, Pointless Discussions. Mark Reynolds. How's it going, Mark?
It's going good. I actually had a great time watching this movie last night.
Yeah, this is a pretty good movie. This was actually my first time ever watching this movie.
It was my first time watching a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie all the way through.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So, and you liked it, though?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, this is pretty...
I'm going to have to watch more of his movies, for
sure. Oh, dude, yeah, they're terribly awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And this doesn't disappoint. It's terribly awesome. Though this was probably... Well, we'll get into it. It was directed by Sheldon Lettich, and it was written by Sheldon Lettich and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, I could tell he had his hands in it, for sure.
There's some parts... Sorry, I had to get my papers. There's some parts where I have a feeling I know where Jean-Claude had his little hands on the screenplay.
Yep.
So, Lionheart, I'll go ahead and read this. It was, he plays a French legionnaire who deserts his post to return to Los Angeles after his brother is murdered. So, that's pretty much the synopsis,
But it's so much more than that.
It is way more than that. So, let's just get into it. What do you think?
Well, I want to start off first by saying I love how they opened the movie. With the death of his brother. First, he got the fake cocaine.
It was sugar.
Yep, it was sugar. He thought it was coke, but it definitely wasn't. And he knew once he tasted it. But I don't know why him accusing the drug dealer of selling him fake cocaine, which is what the drug dealer was doing, why the drug dealer felt the need to set him on fire. But that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was set up that way from the get-go.
Yeah.
I have a feeling like this dude was, they didn't like him or something like that, and he was getting set up to pretty much get burned alive.
Yeah, those gas cans were definitely readily available as soon as he said to grab them.
Well, they were standing around him holding them the entire time.
They were, that's
yeah.
Right. I forgot that.
So I don't think I would ever go into a drug deal under those circumstances. If I saw, like,
eight dudes with gas cans,
I think I'd be like, no, this is it. But, yeah, so it starts out with a drug deal. He gets burned alive, and then it shows him in the hospital laying in the bed screaming. At first I thought he was screaming, Neil. Because it sounded like it was like, Neil, but no, I guess it was Leon.
Yeah, Leon.
It did not sound...
Actually, a couple times throughout the movie when they said his name, I thought they were saying Neil.
Oh, yeah, it was
like
very...
Like when his sister-in-law said it the first time.
Yeah.
When his little niece first found out that he was her uncle.
Yeah,
it sounded like she said Neil.
I think maybe they got confused on his name sometimes.
It's possible.
I mean, I don't even know how... Leon?
Leon, yeah.
Leon?
Because it was French.
Neil? Leon? I don't understand how they got
it's,
that.
It's the way the human brain works, I guess.
So then it cuts, hard cuts to Jean-Claude Van Damme, or Leon. Mark, just so you know, I always go back and forth between the name of the character and Jean-Claude Van Damme. Because to me, they're one and the same.
Yeah,
so
I would expect nothing less.
But it cuts to him, and he's, like, driving a post in front of a gate.
Yeah.
And he's dressed in, like, military fatigues. And if the first thing I thought of when I saw him was, he looks like Guile from Street Fighter.
That definitely crossed my
mind,
too.
So I wonder if this is what they kind of went off of when they casted him for Guile in Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Was, this movie, because he looked, and why did he have a beret on, but everybody else had the traditional French Legion hat?
I don't know. I was thinking the same thing, though.
And he had green camouflage on, even though they were in the desert.
Yeah, and not smart.
Yeah, right. And then everybody else had the tan camouflage.
Yeah. I don't get it.
I mean, I get it to make him stand out from everybody else, but it...
That was probably one of the things that he put his hand in on the screenplay.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not wearing the same thing. We need me to stick out. I know, let's put me in green camouflage and I can wear this beret. And
yeah, that's like, definitely him.
So, you never did figure out what that post was for. Because the mailmen come up and they have a letter for him.
Yeah.
And they... For some reason, everybody who touches this letter has to smell it, and they get super horny off of it. Like, they're sitting there sniffing it, and they say, oh, it's for Leon. I guess he's not here. Ha, ha, ha. And so Jean-Claude Van Damme, like, grabs the dude by his neck and then stabs
the ladder in between his legs.
Yeah. Which, I don't think you can get away with that.
No.
But then he meets up, he gets a letter, he reads it, it's from his sister telling him about his brother being burned. So he goes to talk to, I guess, the captain,
colonel.
Yeah, whoever's in charge, general, whatever it is. And the dude's like, no, you have 6 months left, you're not leaving until your 6 months is up. And so, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme calls dude an asshole. Or no, wait, before that, the guy says, "You, how about 2 weeks of labor duty to calm you down or whatever?"
Yeah.
So Jean-Claude Van Damme calls him an asshole, and the dude's like, okay, well then how about 2 weeks in the hot box? A little heat will do you good. It looks like you have a fever and all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, shit. So he goes out to the hot box and gets in a fight with three guards?
I thought there was like five of them.
Yeah, it was
hard. It was at least three.
It was hard to tell if it was just two and they just kept coming at him, or if it was like five of them.
Yeah.
But he throws sand in the one dude's eye.
Stabs the other dude's hand to the post.
Yeah.
Which looked entirely fake.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and ridiculously fake.
As much as I love Jean-Claude Van Damme's, like, his fight scenes are real slow and precise. Yeah. Like, all of his punches are, like, real, like, ah!
That was one of the notes that I took, like, the slow kicks during that first fight scene. Like, the guys that he's fighting just stand there and wait to get kicked in the face.
Well, that's... Well, and I think they make a good joke about that in his Van... what was that? Jean-Claude Van Johnson TV show. Yeah. They make a pretty good joke about how, like... This, in real life, people don't just wait around to get kicked, and people don't fight one-on-one and stuff.
No, definitely not.
So, yeah, he beats him up. He hops in a Jeep and drives off into the desert. Now, his Jeep was green.
Yep.
Then the Jeep,
probably his choice.
The Jeep that the guys chasing him got into was tan.
Yep.
What the fuck? Now, this is the part I don't really understand. Rest of the movie makes perfect sense. But the guys come back on the Jeep, and they tell the colonel dude, like, we couldn't find him.
Yeah.
He got away, but he won't survive very long.
Yeah.
Then it cuts to Jean-Claude Van Damme running.
Yeah, I don't...
What the fuck happened to his Jeep? What the fuck happened to his Jeep?
I was wondering the exact same thing. Maybe he ran out of gas? And they had to hoof it?
I guess.
Who knows?
Stole the one Jeep that had no gas in it.
I mean...
I'm pretty sure on a military base, they keep those things gassed up. But
yeah, that would be a good idea.
So he runs off, finally finds the ocean, and then it cuts to him sneaking onto a ship as a coal shoveler in the base, or in the basement, I should say.
Yeah.
He's shoveling, and it's just a couple shots of back and forth of him shoveling coal.
Shirtless, of course. Yeah.
All hot and sweaty down there. And then he finally, a guy comes down and tells him, like, oh, your shift's over. don't go up to the deck.
Yeah.
The first mate said you're not allowed up on the deck. So what does Leon do?
He goes up there
to the deck and he looks out and lo and behold, there's New York City.
Yeah.
Well, he was supposed to get dropped off at
L.A.
Yep. So he's like, what the fuck, dude? And the guy's like, you know, you're a deserter. You're wanted. Like, you live here now. This is your job. Like, yeah. You better get back down and start shoveling coal before I tell somebody. Were you going to say something?
No, I'm just saying then he dives off the boat.
Right. So he beats the dude up,
Yeah. Dives
off the ship. Clearly not him diving into that water. That was clearly a stunt double that just hopped in.
What I don't understand about that, though, is, like, you know, he does his own fight scenes and stuff, but he couldn't handle a dive into some ice-cold water.
He's not getting wet. You think he's got to mess
He doesn't like being cold, though. I did notice once he got to the States, he was always, like, cuddling up like he was cold.
Which I don't... I guess because he's coming from the desert.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of.
So he ends up in New York, he's walking around, and as soon as he gets there, he's doing that thing where he's walking down the alleyway, and there's a bunch of homeless people, and then he looks up at this giant skyscraper and goes, America.
I don't remember that part.
What the fuck did he mean? Like, I guess he's like looking like, why are there all these homeless people when we got enough money to build a giant tower?
Yeah, but I don't think it's that deep.
I don't know. Could have been.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, like, in France, there's homeless people, too, isn't there?
Yeah. I don't know if they should have skyscrapers, I'd imagine. Maybe not as big as we have here.
I mean, America was always known for the skyscrapers, and we were always trying to... But I'm sure they've got pretty tall buildings.
I mean, they have the Eiffel Tower.
If somebody knows, you can email us. At VD, it's JC@gmail.com.
But for all we know, all he knows is the deserts of France.
The deserts of France? Yeah. I don't think there's deserts in France.
I mean, wherever he was.
I mean, honestly, I don't know. I'm pretty sure France is a pretty small country. And it's near desert, like it's north of the desert. But I don't think there's deserts of France.
No. But they never actually say where the base camp that he was at is located.
Then he goes and he uses a payphone, and it kind of shows that he doesn't truly understand how to work a payphone.
No.
Because, like, he's really confused by the fact that the lady's like, and you need money for me to connect this call. And he's like, I just want to talk to my sister.
Yeah.
And she's, like, really confused. So all of a sudden he looks over and sees these people underneath a bridge. Huddled around. So he walks over, and lo and behold, it's like a bare-knuckle underground fighting.
Yeah,
like
fighting ring.
Fight club type scenario. And so he decides, hey, I'm going to fight and win some money for the payphone. So he goes to fight, and that's where you meet Joshua, which that dude was an awesome character.
Yeah, he was my favorite character in the whole movie.
Yeah, he was pretty fucking good. So, Joshua gives him the nickname Lion, which I don't understand where he came up with that.
Because his name was Leon, I guess? Lion?
Leon, Lion. Yeah. That makes sense, yeah.
That's what I was thinking, at least.
So, the first fight was against this giant black dude. And he ends up beating the dude with a flying knee to the face. It was a pretty short fight, really.
Not the shortest one in the movie, but it was a short one.
No, it was not the shortest one. But, I mean, the dude really did. I mean, he kind of beat up on Leon a little bit, but...
Yeah. They definitely could have had him take more hits, maybe to make the fight a little bit longer and add some drama to the scene, but he just pretty much fucked this dude up.
Right. So, you know, and then after that, it shows him eating lunch, and that Joshua dude kind of cons him into buying everybody's lunch there. And
speaking of Joshua, did you notice that his left ear was fucked up?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I noticed that. And, like, throughout the whole movie, too, I don't know if it's, like, cauliflower ear from fighting, because it's just, like, on the top ridge of his ear.
Probably
it's either that or like ashiness, but it's only on his ear.
Huh. Well, they do say, you know, he was a big fighter.
And he limped, too. So right. That's what makes me think it was cauliflower. Yeah.
Well, that, yeah, because the end, you find out later that the reason he limps was because of the fight, his last fight that he ever fought. And we'll get into that later on. So after that, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme's just trying to get to L.A. And Josh was like, I can get you to L.A. He's like, come with me. You're going to need money to get there. I can get you money. I can get you out to L.A. So he takes him to meet this lady. And when they're going to meet him, Joshua goes, okay, you're about to meet the lady. So that's her name, the lady. So I've come to the conclusion that Joshua is terrible at nicknames.
Yeah, pretty much.
The Lion.
He's the very... Lady.
He likes L's and he likes the. In
yeah,
the
he's very on the T, too. Yeah.
So they go to another underground fighting match. Leon fought two in one day.
Yeah, that was the same day. It was later that night.
Yeah, so he goes to a parking garage, but this time instead of like poor people standing around, it was all rich people.
Yeah, a circle of Lexuses. Lexi.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lexi.
And so there was a fighter named Sonny who was just whooping up on this dude.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to talk about this one part before Leon and Sonny fought. Sonny punches the dude or knees him or something, and blood splattered all over the blonde chick. And she put her finger, ran it across the blood, and then tasted it.
Yeah.
Like, I get that, like, AIDS just started in, like, the late 80s, and this is, like, an early 90s movie, and people still weren't too sure about AIDS. But
that's not the best idea to
every
do.
Every 90s movie, man, they are forever...
Bloodlust.
Tasting blood.
Yeah.
Like,
and it doesn't even taste good, either. It tastes like rusty pennies.
Yeah, it does. So why would... I don't get it. But that's what she
did. I think she gets off on it, honestly.
Probably. Yeah, there's people like that. So I just wanted to say, like, the one-liner that Sonny said before he, like, nut-shotted the dude for the win. He goes, let's do lunch sometime.
Yeah.
And then he fucking, like, knees him in the nuts and throws him over. So they're gonna, so now it's Leon's turn to fight Sonny, which I guess that's fair. You know, Leon kind of had a few hours to...
Recuperate
before the next fight, whereas Sonny was just back-to-back.
Yeah.
But I guess...
But apparently he was the lady's champ, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
So the lady, you know, being a little bit smarter than Joshua and realizing the Lion is a terrible fucking nickname, gives Leon the name Lionheart. Which isn't much better, but...
No.
Whatever.
At least it's not the Lion.
So, Sonny and Lionheart are face-to-face with each other. And I got another quote from Sonny. He looks at him and he goes, I don't know if I want to fight you or fuck you.
Yeah, one of my favorite lines in the whole movie.
Like, what the fuck? I feel like Jean-Claude Van Damme wrote that line.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, for sure, wrote that line, and he also wrote the Let's Do Lunch Sometime.
Yeah.
Probably thought those were the greatest fucking things ever, which they were, so he wasn't wrong.
Yeah, and then Sonny did end up getting fucked by him, so to speak.
Yeah, because the fight literally lasted like 16 seconds. Jean-Claude Van Damme... One punch right into the dude's nuts.
Yeah.
Ended the fight, and he won $5,000.
Yeah, that was actually my first favorite fight that I had written down, but I figured since it was so short that I would pick another one that had a little bit more substance to it, but that was definitely my first favorite.
Yeah, that was a good one. Mainly because of the dialogue and the setting up of everything.
And then how quick it was.
So, you know, they're back in the limo, and the lady's trying to get Leon to fight again, and he's like, no, I just want to go see my fucking family. My brother's dying, which nobody seems to give a fuck about.
No.
Well, I guess he never really told him that his brother was dying. He just kept saying he had to get to L.A.
Yeah, that's true.
So I guess that makes sense.
I do have a question real quick while we're talking, because this is the first time the character is introduced. I know I've seen him before, and I can't remember where, but the lady's right-hand man, what else is he in?
When I was watching it, I was trying to pinpoint it.
I cannot for the life of me remember, but I know I've seen him in something before. Probably a JCVD movie.
It probably was. I feel like he was in another one with him. I also feel like he usually plays the bad guy in movies because he's a pretty big dude.
Yeah. But his face, like, I just know I've seen it somewhere.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I don't even know the guy's name.
He might have been one. Didn't he play M. Bison in Street Fighter?
No.
No?
That was the dude who...
Or not M. Bison. The red dude. The dude that had a red suit.
That's Bison.
Was that Bison?
Yeah, no.
Or Zangief?
Zangief? No, he wasn't Zangief. Okay. That dude wasn't in Street Fighter at all.
I'm going to have to look into it tonight because that's going to bug me now.
Yeah. Probably should have looked that up before the podcast.
Yeah, well... I thought you would know.
No, I didn't know that dude. I knew I've seen him before, but I couldn't pinpoint where he was at. If you know, head over to Magic Squirrel Network on Facebook and drop a message and let us know. But then they go to use a payphone to call out to L.A. Mm-hmm. to get a hold of his sister. And as they're walking up, they're a gang... in like a West Side Story fashion, comes out of a semi-truck. And I just want to say, like, gangs back in the 90s, early 90s, weren't scary.
No. They were completely different back then than they are now.
Yeah, it was a little comical. Wasn't...
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't scary at all. But that Joshua dude, you kind of see his fighting skills a little bit. He fucking whoops up on the main gang leader.
Yeah.
While Jean-Claude Van Damme beats up like five people.
Yeah, always. Right. It's always got to be at least three unless it's one-on-one.
Oh, they were calling a cab. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Because he's on the phone with the cab service, like, and he has the cord wrapped around the gang leader's neck. And he's like, I need a cab. And it's like, no, I'm sorry. We don't pick up from that area.
Yeah.
And he goes to Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's like, hey, you want to make a call? And that was the end of that scene. Then it cuts to them arriving to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
How they got there, who cares?
It's not important.
Not important, because now they're there. And then he goes into the hospital, and he finds out his brother has passed away. So he didn't make it to the hospital in time.
Nope.
But you also find out that the police have the murderers in custody.
Yep.
So, at the beginning of this, I read that... Oh, never mind.
But speaking of that, I just realized they never revisit that part of the plot for the rest of the movie.
No, once they were like, the drug dealers have been arrested, your brother's dead.
Case closed, yep.
That's it. So, he leaves, and the part I thought weird was when he was getting ready to leave, the doctor goes... I know your sister-in-law's address. Do you want it? Like, what the fuck?
HIPAA violation.
Right. What the fuck? You cannot just give out somebody's address like that to somebody claiming that the doctor does not know for 100% fact.
No.
Is the brother of this guy.
No.
Claim it, and like, you don't know the situation. Maybe this dude is not allowed to see his sister-in-law for legal reasons, and you're just going to give his address.
The 90s were a different time.
But I thought it was funny. Like, Joshua is, like, completely oblivious to everything. And he as Jean-Claude Van Damme's walking out, depressed, sad, he's crying, Joshua says, "You're acting like you found out you're pregnant." Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he did.
And I love the, like, soap opera music that was playing.
He's just, like, standing at the top of the stairs looking down.
Yeah, and it's, like, real sad soap opera-y music was playing. And then Jean-Claude Van Damme tells Joshua that he knows where his sister's address is already.
Yeah.
And he hands him the envelope. And what does Joshua do? He sniffs it. Like, what the fuck? So they go and they end up getting drunk at a bar. And Joshua's like, oh, I got a bed for you. And takes him to this really nice, fancy house.
Yeah.
And he falls asleep on a bed. Well, he wakes up, and who's there but
the lady.
And he finds out he is butt naked because the lady stripped him naked in his sleep.
But I don't think she did anything with him because she wanted the D bad.
Right.
Like, the rest of the movie.
Right, but she definitely... I mean, could you imagine a movie where a girl passed out drunk in a guy's bed?
Yeah.
And he strips her butt naked, doesn't do anything with her, but strips her butt naked and leaves her naked in the bed.
Yeah. It would not end the same way that this one did.
So finally, 48 minutes and 38 seconds into this movie, we see the one and only shot of Jean-Claude Van Damme's butt.
Yeah.
Which, the director that Sheldon Lettich, he makes this big deal about how this is the movie that got Jean-Claude Van Damme famous for his butt. But his butt's been shown in other movies, and I'd say in, like, Bloodsport, they showed it more?
I've not seen Bloodsport, so, but in this movie, it was only on screen for, what, 3.5 seconds?
Yeah.
And then he threw the robe on.
Yeah, it was real short. It was a nice-looking butt, don't get me wrong. Very muscular, nice-looking butt. But, I mean, I don't see how this was the movie that made his butt famous.
I don't either, honestly.
So then, after his butt, the lady takes Leon on a pretty woman-like suit shopping montage. Like,
that was one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie.
Like, it felt like Pretty Women. Have you ever seen Pretty Women when What's-His-Face takes the prostitute lady shopping for dresses and shit? And they're
just like that.
It was just like it. And so, it kind of cuts in between Leon with the lady and the French Legionnaire people who are tracking Leon, trying to capture him. And it shows them, like, kind of spying on Leon's sister-in-law.
Yeah.
And because it kind of shows her walking with her niece and going to a factory, some, like, orange packaging factory.
Yeah. No, those were tomatoes.
Was it tomatoes?
I think it was.
I just know it's some kind of fruit or vegetable getting put in boxes.
Put in boxes, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was tomatoes because they were like, there was green ones and yellow ones, and she was like picking out the red ones and putting them in the box.
Yeah, so I mean, before this, he fell asleep at the lady's house, he did try to visit his sister-in-law.
Yeah.
And he met his niece, Ashley,
who
dropped a red, white, and blue ball down the stairs.
Yeah.
And they have that whole conversation about, like, are you a stranger? And I thought Jean-Claude Van Damme handled himself pretty well in that situation.
Yeah.
Because even though the kid introduced herself to him and everything, and she goes, so we're not strangers anymore, are we? And he goes, I'm not a stranger to you when your mom says I'm not.
Yeah. That
Which
was
is something
pretty good of him.
That everybody should probably take into account when talking to a little fucking kid, because... Yeah. That's pretty much how it is. Well, so he's walking after he stalks. Leon sees his sister-in-law in the packaging place. He's walking and he sees these homeless people. And the same fucking ball rolls up to him and he gives it to the homeless girl and then hands her like $2,000.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know what the whole deal with the ball was.
I don't get the imagery there, but I did like the scene nonetheless.
Yeah. Okay, so then after he sees where his sister-in-law works and where they're living and the poverty and all that shit, he goes back to the lady and says, I'll fight again. But he has two conditions.
Yeah.
He needs a bank account in a different name than his.
We'll get to this a little bit later, but I love him and Joshua's plan to get his sister-in-law the money.
Yeah, that turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
And then he needed a new place to live, because he didn't want to live with the lady because she was trying to bone down.
Oh, yeah. Constantly.
So, then it cuts straight away to fight number three, which takes place in a warehouse with everybody wearing roller skates.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Yeah, and then they have the cars all, like, circling them in the fight, which was a dumb idea, because in the fight, a lot of the windshields get broken.
Oh, yeah.
Cars are getting smashed up.
It was either him or the Scottish dude, too, I think, at one point took a Lexus hood ornament up their ass, it looked like.
That was the Scottish dude.
Yeah.
Van Damme gets thrown into a... Well, okay, so it was a Scottish guy he was fighting and killed. Here's another fucking line from Joshua that was fucking on. He goes, make sure you drop his dress. I want to see if he has any drawers on. Like, what? You want to see this dude's nuts, Josh? What's up? What's up with that, man? It's fucked up.
That's why we love Joshua.
Yeah.
He was a great character.
So they get in a fight, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Scottish guy throws Leon, or Jean-Claude Van Damme, through the front windshield of a car.
Yeah.
Goes over, pulls the antenna off of another car, uses that to strangle Leon. Then he starts kind of getting his momentum back. He gets the hood ornament up his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jean-Claude Van Damme just kind of punches him a couple times and knocks him out. But he's like holding him up by his hair while this dude's knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, showing him to his managers that are sitting in the car.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he got his fucking ass whooped.
Right. But this was like the first fight where Jean-Claude Van Damme like actually kind of got a beating.
Yeah.
And so, but he ends up just dropping the dude.
Oh, yeah.
Now they go into like two more fights pretty quickly after this.
Yeah. I think this is like not a compacted montage, but it's kind of like a montage getting to that final fight.
Right. So they go, the fourth fight was this big white dude with long hair, and it was in a racquetball court. I've got to say, like, this kind of reminded me of Bloodsport a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of reminded me of Kickboxer, kind of. But, like, instead of, like, in Bloodsport, they had, like, all the different fighting styles.
Yeah.
This was, like, everybody kind of fights the same, but look at this location.
The different venues.
Look at this location. Yep. And somebody actually made, like, a cut-up little montage of, like, Street Fighter and Lionheart together with Fighter sound effects over top of it. And it works out fucking good because of all the different fucking locations that these fights are in. And I think that's the only parts that I've ever seen of this movie was in that.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. Look up Lionheart Street Fighter. And it should be like the first thing that pops up.
I'm going to have to watch that.
But so he's fighting this dude in a racquetball court. It's a short fight. He beats him up, kicks him around a couple times, and ends up...
They don't ever actually show him winning the fight, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they do.
Did they?
He throws the dude through the observation window.
That's right.
At the back of the...
Yeah. After he, like, picks him up and rams him against both walls.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny.
I mean, I had to say, like, that's like safety glass because it's meant for that ball to, like, hit against it and stuff. So he would probably have to throw that dude
pretty
fucking hard.
Yeah.
In between that fight and the next fight, they show a little thing of the French legionnaires finally see Leon.
Yep.
They saw him, but they couldn't get to him fast enough before he died.
That's when he was watching his niece ride her new bike, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
So then here's fight number five. This is probably my favorite fight in the whole movie. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know. Maybe the second. I'd say probably the second favorite fight.
If it's the one I think it is, I'm going to be pissed.
This is the one in the swimming pool.
Yeah, that was my favorite fight.
Oh, yeah, it's fucking so good. So you got Jean-Claude Van Damme in a fucking...
Wetsuit, leotard,
swimsuit, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And then here comes a long, flowing hair dude.
Fabio wannabe.
Fabio coming down, and he's in the swimming pool, and he's got a leotard on, and then they're fighting... And he punches the dude and he goes flying into that nasty water.
Oh, yeah, that water was probably
and,
stagnant.
I loved when he comes up and it's all slow motion and he flips his hair back like those models do. And then he gets knocked down in the water again and he comes, except the second time. He flipped his hair. It wasn't slow motion, though, but he flips his hair.
But they do use slow motion quite a few times throughout that fight.
Oh, yeah.
So that was one of my favorite parts about it.
Right. So they ended up just fighting in the water for a while, and then he ends up beating him with an elbow uppercut to the face, and he drags the knocked out dude out of the water because, you know, he's not trying to kill anybody.
No.
He's just there to knock you out a little bit.
Makes money in the process.
So now finally the foreign legionnaires have caught up with Leon.
Yep.
And they probably gave Leon the biggest run for his money out of everybody in the whole fucking movie. Like, they kick his ass, and they cut his side or something like
break
that.
Break his rib.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's fucking injured really bad. And the only thing that saved him was the lady, the right-hand man that we have no clue who he was, pulls up and distracts him enough so that Leon can kick some kind of cover thing.
Yeah, like overhang or something.
And I was thinking about this, like, this part of the movie reminded me of Bloodsport, because in that movie, Forrest Whitaker and some other guy are like FBI agents or some kind of CIA or some shit, and they're chasing Jean-Claude Van Damme through Hong Kong or whatever in that movie, and, you know, they never really fought, but, like, The whole two French legionnaires chasing him through L.A. kind of just reminded me exactly.
I can see that, for sure.
So, after that, you kind of find out, because, who was it? Joshua and the lady are talking, and she goes, who's cashing these insurance checks?
Mm-hmm.
So, you find out that they were putting this money into a fake account and then writing fake insurance claims and giving them to his sister-in-law for, like, they were insurance payments for the brother who died.
Yeah, which was the perfect plan because she didn't want Leon's money in the first place.
Mm-mm.
So, but he still wanted to give it to her, and I think they came up with the perfect plan to do so.
Right. So the lady's kind of, like, feeling, like, a little jealous about, because she goes, is he fucking her?
Yeah.
He's staying over there because finally Jean-Claude Van Damme gets introduced to his niece and everything.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that part, do you think the lady's plan for the final fight was something that she always had, or do you think it was something created out of revenge against Leon because she thought he was fucking his sister?
Yeah. I think it was because Leon wouldn't, like, fuck her.
Yeah.
And so she was getting jealous, thought she was fucking his sister-in-law, and decided, okay, we need somebody new.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of him. We'll bring in Attila. So the lady's watching this video of Attila, and he's, like, breaking people in half and shit. And, like, he ends up showing up. When he shows up in the United States, like, he's carrying a fucking white cat.
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
He looked like a fucking James Bond villain.
Yeah.
Like, he had a suit on with these giant sight. He looked like, what's his name, Jaws from... He reminded me of Jaws from James Bond.
Yeah.
Mixed with Goldfinger petting a fucking cat. Like, it was weird.
In the face, he kind of reminded me of, like, a smaller, less Neanderthal Andre the Giant.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I thought the same thing. So, but before he arrives, you know, the lady brings Jean-Claude Van Damme over a bunch of rich people's houses.
Yeah.
And they're showing him the videos, and they're like, oh, Jean-Claude Van Damme can definitely beat Attila.
Yeah.
Leon's definitely going to beat Attila. Gets all these people to vote for Lionheart, while she is gonna bet on Attila.
Yep.
So they get to the fight scene, and they're sitting there, and he's, like, in his waiting room, and you notice, like, his side is just killing from those people. Oh, and then the lady fucking double crosses Lionheart also, because she meets up with the French legionnaires, shows them the tape of Attila, goes, I'm going to have them fight. Attila's going to murder Lionheart, and you can have whatever's left of them to take
and
back.
You get to watch.
Right. Well, that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, only one thing we want to watch. And they're like, yeah, you can watch. That's cool. So they show up. Jean-Claude Van Damme's side's killing him. He's in the fucking waiting room, like, getting ready. Joshua comes in and finds out his side's fucked up.
Yeah.
So
He knew right away, too.
He does what happened in Bloodsport and Kickboxer, trying to talk him out of fighting it. Yeah. Don't do it, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Don't do it. He'll kill you. He'll kill you. That is one thing I love about Jean. I think that's why I like Jean-Claude Van Damme so much. Because he always plays the underdog in his movies. I don't think he's ever played a part where, well, no, I can't say ever, but the majority of his movies, he's always somebody who is, because he's a lot smaller than a lot of the action heroes of the time were. And, like, so he's a smaller dude, and, like, he's always, like, expected to lose, but he always rises up at the very end and wins. And I think that's why I like him so much, because he's always the underdog. I don't know.
That makes sense.
But, you know, just like all the other ones, somebody tries to talk him out of it.
Yeah.
So, Jean-Claude Van Damme tells Joshua he bet all his money on himself. He took all his money out that he had, and he bet him on himself, and he's going to take his sister-in-law and his niece and Joshua, and they're going to fucking get out of there and go somewhere nice and live their life nicely. Because I think he's supposed to win like $12
million
or something.
A lot.
Yeah, it was a lot of money.
Well, I can't remember exactly who said it, but when they're in the limo talking about the fight, someone says, like, this one will be enough for us to retire on.
Right. I can't remember.
I think it might have been the lady that said it, maybe.
Yeah, I think. Oh, yeah, she says that to Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
While they're sitting in the limo, and like, she's got that real creepy laugh going.
Yeah.
And, like, you could clearly, like, Joshua has this look like he knows something.
Oh, he knows, yeah.
Because the same thing happened to him.
Yeah.
Because he was the lady's main fighter.
Yeah.
And then she set him up with some dude who was better than him.
Yeah.
Knowing damn well that he was going to lose, and he ended up getting his cauliflower ear and his bum leg.
Yeah.
So he, you know, Joshua's like, don't do it. She did this to me. Stop. Blah, blah, blah. He won't do it. So then Joshua goes up to the lady and is like, who'd you really bet on? Who you really bet on? And you kind of get the feeling like he figures out that she bet on Attila.
Yeah.
So he goes up to bet and it's like, 1 minute, who you betting on? 1 minute, who you betting on? And like all this shit. Never shows who he bets on. We can all assume he probably bet on Attila.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So then this fight was outside in a garden.
Yep.
In a
another tent. Great venue.
Yeah, in a tent with a bunch of rich people sitting around. But this was actually in a ring.
Yeah.
Eh, kind of.
I mean, you could tell it was set up for fighting.
Right. When he walks in, he sees the French legionnaire sitting there, looks over at the lady, and knows instantly that he was set up.
Yeah.
But he doesn't give a fuck.
Nope.
This is all about his sister-in-law and his niece Ashley having enough money to get the fuck out of the slums.
Yep.
And that's what it was all about. So then this fucking epic song starts playing and kept repeating No Mercy over and over again. And winner takes all.
Typical 90s style.
So, in tradition to all the final fights Jean-Claude Van Damme's in, he gets his shit kicked out.
Oh, yeah. Bad.
Like, really bad, to the point where there's a couple... Okay, so he gets knocked down, and Joshua comes over to him, and he's like, you're gonna get killed! Blah, blah, blah. And he goes, look, you're gonna die, da-da-da, all this shit. He gets up. He's like, stay down, you're gonna die. Stay down, you're gonna... He just keeps repeating it.
Yeah.
Jean-Claude Van Damme doesn't listen. Gets up, fights some more, gets knocked the fuck down again.
That's another thing that makes me think that Joshua did bet on Attila.
Oh, he totally did.
Because he kept telling him, like, stop, stop. We'll split the money 50-50.
Right.
Yeah.
Because... But the, what I thought was funny, the second time he gets knocked down, it, like, shows Leon crawling over to Joshua.
Yeah.
Like, what? What? He's not going to crawl over to someone. So he crawls over, and that's when you find out that he bet on Attila.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, just stay down. We'll split the money 50-50. He's saying, like, yes, I was a dick. I bet on the guy against you. But we can split the money. It's our money. Just stay down, dude.
But you might die in the process.
Right. And he's like, no. Now, I noticed something. Okay. Because, of course, when he gets back up, is when Jean-Claude Van Damme, he's pissed. His new brother, Joshua, betrayed him. The lady betrayed him. The French Legionnaire's there.
Yeah.
Everybody's betrayed him. He's got nobody. So he gets fucking pissed. Now, at the beginning, I don't know if you noticed this. At the beginning of the fight, all he was doing was throwing punches and protecting his side and throwing punches.
Yeah.
He gets pissed off. He gets up. What does he first do?
Kick him.
Kick. 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 So it's like, oh, I'm losing. Oh, I'm punching. Oh, here comes the kicks. And all of a sudden, he's winning.
Yeah.
So he should have just started out with the kicks. But
well, if you notice a lot of the previous fights, too, he mostly kicked and very rarely threw punches.
I would, yeah, that's
true. He would throw them.
Yeah.
But his main fighting style was kicking.
Yeah, for sure. And so he ends up winning. He beats the dude with he beats him into the stands.
Yeah.
And, like, he kind of stole something from Kickboxer when the right-hand man stands up to interfere, and he, like, kicks, and he ends up kicking Attila and the right-hand man.
Yeah.
That was totally the ending of Kickboxer.
Was it?
Yeah. And so he, knees the dude in the face. He goes down. He gets on top of him, and he's standing over him with his fist, and he's, like, fucking pissed.
Yeah.
And he's, like, getting ready to kill this dude, but then he, like, looks over at the lady and everybody, and they're like, fuck it, I'm done.
And realizes that, you know, he's just won.
Right.
Against all odds stacked against him.
He's better than that.
Yeah.
So he just lets dude get knocked out right there. Which, it's kind of similar to a fight in Bloodsport, but whatever.
Yeah, well, a lot of his fights are probably similar. Even though, like, he always uses different directors, doesn't he?
It's usually a different director, but he always had, like, after Bloodsport was so big and everything, he always either had to choreograph the fight scenes, or he had to have some part in the screenplay.
Oh, okay.
And later on in his career, he actually will start directing some of the movies.
Yeah.
Like, co-directing. He never had it, like, straight up.
Yeah.
But, like, he always wanted his hands in other parts, because, I mean, that's more money for him.
And that makes sense.
So the French Legionnaires, they get him, drag him out. They are nice enough to take him to his sister-in-law's house to say goodbye. And he, like, hugs. Like, all I could think of is when he's hugging his niece, he's still bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, the blood's getting all over her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, people just don't give a fuck about blood in the early 90s.
No, they don't. Joshua had some on his hoodie, too, from him.
From hugging him, yeah. Because when they were walking out, Joshua gets in front of him, and he's like, I'm sorry. And, like, Jean-Claude Van, like, Leon just straight up forgives him and hugs him, and that's it.
In all fairness, though, like, what he did and what he had planned wasn't really that bad.
No.
Like, he knew that, well, thought he knew that Attila would destroy Lion. So, I mean, the plan that he came up with was actually a good one, because he planned to split it 50-50 with Jean-Claude.
Right. I agree. Yeah, so they say goodbye. He gets in the car with the Legionnaires. They drive off. Get a few blocks away. Stops the car, and the Legionnaires are like, get out. Go. Be with your family. And live a good life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what a bunch of fucking assholes. Why'd you drive them down the street? Because then, well, I know why.
When do you think they made the decision to let him stay?
I thought they made the decision when they were sitting there and he was hugging everybody goodbye. And then and Ashley, his niece, was crying.
Yeah.
You kind of got that. They, like, looked at each other. And I kind of got the feeling there that they're going to let him go.
Yeah,
but then
they
got
too.
In the car and they drove away. And I'm like, holy shit.
They're taking him back.
Yeah, they're not going to let him go. And so they drive, and then they let him go three blocks down the street so he can run the fuck back up.
Yeah.
This dude...
Injured,
no less. Injured. What is up with him in cars and not ever getting to the destination he needs to and having to run there? But it makes sense because without that, you wouldn't have that final shot of him and his niece running to each other, and then they hug, and then it pans out, and they're all standing around each other.
Yeah, it was a great ending to a great movie, for sure.
So that was 1991, Lionheart. Good movie.
Check it out if you haven't seen it. It's a really good one.
Why are you listening to this podcast if you haven't seen it? But, I mean, you pretty much know how the movie goes. It's still awesome.
Yeah. I would still watch it after listening to this episode.
Oh, fuck
Just to see those fights.
Oh, the fight scenes were awesome. Fight scenes in Jean-Claude Van Damme movies are usually pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really too many fight scenes in his movies that are bad. The dialogue and the plot,
sometimes iffy, yeah.
This was probably one of his better ones. I'd probably rank this probably fifth favorite of all time, maybe sixth.
Well, it's the only one I've seen, so it's my first favorite. But I'm sure even after watching more of his movies, it's probably going to stay near the top.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Bloodsport will always be my number one favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, but that's only because that was like the first one I ever saw.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that one next.
Bloodsport, if you like, I mean, there's not a lot of dialogue in that movie. It's just straight up fighting.
Yeah, that's what I like best.
So
well,
good.
I did like the story in Lionheart, too.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was a good one. Unlike Death Warrant, which had a really good premise that could have been fucking awesome.
Just wasn't executed well.
They just had a white guy dropping the N-word a whole bunch.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was not good.
What year did that one come out?
91.
Oh,
same
damn.
Year as this one, so I guess he was working on both of them at the same time, or maybe got done with one and they just so happened to release the same year. I don't know. But 91 was the year for Van Damme. He was killing it. Okay, so let's go through our little checklists here of what we normally talk about. So, we talked about favorite fight scene was we're kind of in agreement, it was the swimming pool fight scene.
Yeah, I was going to pick the nut punch KO, but it wasn't really a fight. It was just one punch and dude was done.
Right. He did zero splits in this movie.
Not a single one.
None. I don't think he needed them in this
movie.
No? It would have added to like a fight scene if maybe with the nut punch, but I don't think he wanted to do that because in Bloodsport he dropped to the splits and nut punched the E Honda looking dude.
Yeah.
And I don't think he wanted to do that twice and so they didn't do any splits. A lot of like split kicks to the face and shit, but no like straight up splits.
Yeah, I actually thought we were counting those and I counted 16 of them.
Yeah,
the split
I mean,
kicks to
he's
people.
Fucking flexible as shit.
Yeah, for sure.
It's impressive. Usually he saves a female from being sexually assaulted. In this movie, he got sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
He didn't save any females from being sexually assaulted. But he did end up saving his brother's family and saving Josh, so...
Yeah.
You know, there's
he saved someone, for sure.
And he was the underdog like usual, so...
Yeah.
I think that was a pretty good movie. I liked it.
I would definitely rate it 9 out of 10.
So we got a fucking good... oh, man, maybe I should have saved this one for you to be a guest on.
Yeah.
I don't know, you might have to check it out. Next movie we are going to is Double Impact, which was directed by the same person as Lionheart. What was his name? Steven Lettich.
Yeah, Lettich.
I got it written down here. Sheldon.
Sheldon Lettich.
Sheldon Lettich. And this is what they say about Double Impact. Double Impact, directed by Lettich, featured Van Damme in the dual role of Alex and Chad Wagner. That's right. He plays twins in this movie.
I feel like I've seen parts of this
Probably.
Before.
Estranged twins, brothers fighting to avenge the deaths of their parents. It's always fighting to avenge the death of somebody.
Yep, always.
This one, he wasn't necessarily fighting to avenge the death of his brother because the people got captured.
Yeah.
But that was the whole thing that brought him to L.A. And then he decided he was going to fight so that his brother's family could have a better life. And let me ask you think the sister-in-law and Leon are banging now?
Yeah, for sure.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, okay, back to this one. They avenge the deaths of their parents. The film reunited him with his former Bloodsport co-star, Bolo Yeung, and was very popular. This movie also came out in 1991, so wow. Van Damme had three movies.
Putting in work that year.
Come out in 1991. Now, the dude that they said from Bloodsport, Bolo Yeung, was the main bad guy that he fought at the end of Bloodsport.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. They're in another movie.
I wonder if he's going to be a bad guy in this one, too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he always... I mean, here's a... Viewer, listeners can't see it. I'm showing a picture to Mark.
Oh, yeah.
He's clearly the bad guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So Double Impact 1991. This is going to be terrible, but it's going to be fucking awesome. So...
I actually found out where I recognized the lady's right-hand man from. His name's Brian Thompson, and he actually played a Buffalo Bob-type character in the Joe Dirt movie with David Spade.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's where I remember him from.
That's funny.
He's got a face you can't forget, for sure.
Oh, man, I'm looking at this list of, like, the next four or five movies. And
I've seen that one.
They are all fucking good. Like,
yeah.
The next few months is going to be a good one around here for Van Damme. It's Jean-Claude. All right, well, do you have anything you'd like to plug, Mark?
Nope. Huh. Oh, yeah, Pointless Discussions. You can check us out every Tuesday on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, pretty much anywhere that you listen to podcasts. We're getting pretty close to the end of our Planet H narrative and the end of Season 2. You don't want to miss out on how that one ends, so make sure you check us out.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Mark. It was a good time. Good time talking about Lionheart.
Yeah, great movie, too.
Tune in next month on... Hold on, guys. I'm sorry. I'm pulling my calendar up. So, next month, it will be October 6th, talking Double Impact. Kumite.
The squirrel was magic.